Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Chef Lee Chismar from Bolete in Fountain Hill, which was just named one of the 20 semifinalists for the outstanding restaurant in the entire country by the James Beard Foundation. And also, he runs Mr. Lee's Noodles and the soon-to-open Silver Shell Counter and Kitchen. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
At the Easton Public Market. Chef Lee, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thanks, Mike. It's nice to be here.
I love talking with chefs about their origin story because, unlike most professions, it usually goes all the way back to the early years when most of us wanted to be astronauts or movie stars. So Right. Where did it start for you?
So for me, you know, food has always been a huge part of my family. My dad actually worked for the Wood Company, which was one of the big food service companies in the Lehigh Valley back in the day. And so, you know, I grew up, you know, at 11 years old, helping them out with special events at Air Products. And from there, I started washing dishes. And it's kind of interesting, you know, our family life revolved around food so much. And, you know, my dad really pushed it. You know, he was like, hey, you should go to culinary school. And it was one of those things where I think, you know, you don't always want to do what your dad says. So I resisted for a long time, but continued to work in restaurants, my summer jobs, when I got to college. And, you know, I jumped around a lot as far as my majors in college. And I just, you know, was having trouble finding what I really loved. And it just, it dawned on me one day that, why am I fighting this? It's what I love to do. And the rest, I signed up, got accepted at the Culinary Institute of America. And the rest is kind of history from there.
And so people understand, you're a hometown guy. You went to high school in this area?
Yeah, I went to Salisbury High School. I grew up here. And, you know, after I graduated college, I moved out to San Francisco and up to Boston. And it is, you know, this is one of my favorite places. And I love the people. I love the area, the geography, all of that stuff. And it just eventually, it called to me to come back.
Well, you're talking about the Culinary Institute of America. That's up in Hyde Park, right up on the Hudson River, north of New York City.
Yep.
What's it like going to culinary school? Is there a book learning or technique or management? Is it a mix?
So it's a mix of everything. And, you know, for me, it was probably one of the most exciting times of my life to be in an institution where everything is so, you know, about food and different clubs and mushroom foraging and here's a tea club and wine library filled with cookbooks. You know, it's kind of like the Hogwarts of the culinary world. And it really feels like that sometimes when you're there. So I loved culinary school so much. And it was, I always say someday if I hit the lottery, I'd probably close the restaurants and go back to culinary school one more time, just because there's so much information. You can never really grasp it all. And it would just be neat to reimmerse yourself in it again.
And even though you had, you know, starting at age 11, 7 or 8 years being around restaurants in every way, shape, or form, and a father that was at Wood Company, you probably just got thrown into it and just got your eyes wide open.
Oh, yeah. It's just, and even, you know, you can spend a lifetime making gnocchi. And still, after 10 years, you perfect it a little more. After 20 years, you fine-tune it a little bit more. It's just one of those professions where you continue to learn all the time. And that's what's really cool about, you know, culinary school, because it exposes you to so much that you can kind of find where your interests really lie.
And then from CIA, you went out to San Francisco.
So I went out to San Francisco. I worked at a restaurant called the Lark Creek Inn, which was Bradley Ogden's restaurant.
And good food culture out in San Francisco.
It was incredible. And so there I worked for the executive chef, Jeremy Sewell, and he was kind of my mentor. I started there as an extern, and we would go to the farmers markets, the San Rafael Farmers Market, which is arguably one of the best in the country. And, you know, we'd go there at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I'd have my hand truck and run around following the chef everywhere. And, you know, we'd fill up a van twice a week. And that was really, you know, at that time, and this is back in the late 90s, you know, in the Lehigh Valley, most of the restaurants, if you went into their walk-ins, they had zucchini, summer squash, plum tomatoes, and broccoli, and spinach. And that was really all we had. And so to go out there and just, you know, I can remember not really enjoying tomatoes. And I was walking, and Bradley Ogden, you know, comes up to me and he hands a tomato. And my first response was, and I almost said, I don't really like tomatoes. And, you know, and I thought about it for a second.
I'm a chef.
And I ate it, and it was like candy. And that was kind of, then from there to really focus on produce, and, you know, the asparagus tastes like candy. And it just, you can feel the land, you can feel the seasons. And, you know, I really fell in love with that.
And you were in San Francisco for how many years?
So it was almost 3 years. I did a stint as my extern, and then I went back out there to continue working there.
And then from there to Boston, right?
Yes. And so I followed Jeremy Sewell. He took a job to open Great Bay Restaurant, and this was working for Christopher Myers and Michael Schlau. They had Radius and Via Mata back then. And so we were going to open Great Bay, which was a seafood restaurant, fine dining. Jeremy had a ton of experience. He was from Maine, grew up lobster fishing, and had worked as a fish fellowship at the CIA. So he had a ton of seafood experience. So there, you know, we kind of switched from the farming aspect to, and, you know, that same zest and quest to find the best product into seafood. And, you know, we would make trips to Maine twice a week to buy lobsters from his cousin, like fresh out of the water, and going to all the fish markets. And that's really where I developed my appreciation for fish.
Well, you have such a bounty there in that part of the Atlantic, and such a variety from shellfish to fish that are line caught. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. There's everything that you want. Oysters, you know, that's kind of one of my big loves. And in San Francisco at Hog Island was, you know, where I really reintroduced myself. And then out to Boston, you know, Island Creek had just kind of started the Duxbury oyster. They're pretty famous, served in all the best restaurants. That was the first oyster we carried in at Great Bay. And from there, you know, I can sit down and eat 100 oysters easy. I mean, it's one of my favorite things. They're absolutely incredible.
So what were some of the biggest lessons that you learned in San Francisco and Boston before you moved back to the Lehigh Valley?
So I think, you know, for me, the biggest thing, and this is something that my mentor, Jeremy, you know, really instilled in me, is, you know, finding the best ingredients. And, you know, he always used to say, and I continue to say, and don't do anything to mess it up. And I think they're, you know, Mother Nature's the greatest chef. and so from there, I think it's interesting to understand your products, to understand the taste and flavor profiles of everything that you do. And then really that same philosophy to pair them with things that go well, to just enhance or complement. And those were kind of the early lessons, you know, that I learned out there in San Francisco and Boston that helped me kind of formulate my food philosophy.
And what was it that compelled you to come back to the Lehigh Valley after having a lot of success in two of the major markets in the country?
So, you know, I'm not sure that city life, the big, big city life is for me. You know, the Lehigh Valley definitely has its urban atmospheres. You know, I miss home. I miss the people. I miss, you know, my friends and family. But really the biggest driver was my father, who continued, you know, maybe once every 2 months over a span of 4 years to say, hey, you know, I think it's time. I think it's time to come back. The Lehigh Valley's ready for you.
In fact, that was my question. Were there concerns from given the culinary scene here at the time, kind of in, you know, 2007, 2008, that maybe the Valley was or wasn't ready for you?
So, you know, I think you spend so much time working when you're in the culinary field. You know, your days are spent, you know, I mean, I've put 22-hour days in, months at a time, no days off. So when I was in Boston, I'd been working a ton, and I don't know that we thought about it as much. You know, the competition in Boston was so crazy, and San Francisco the same. And really at that time, the Lehigh Valley was still sort of a small town when it came to the culinary world. So I felt like we would be successful, but you never know, you know? And, So it's my dad actually was at the Inn of the Falcon, and Shirley and Al Neumeier were the proprietors for a long time. And so we kind of started up the conversation as they would be interested in selling to us. And they were kind of instrumental in getting us in that spot. And, you know, I met my wife in Boston, Erin, who is one of the best general managers that there is and the best restaurateur. So we came down on a weekend and we took a walk around. Shirley and Al, they weren't even there. We walked around the property and, you know, I never really thought I'd get her out of Boston either. And so we walked around and you could feel the magic there. And it's an interesting space. And so she said yes, you know, it was like, and then we, you know, worked it out with Shirley and Al and
did you have did you have a vision that you wanted to accomplish with Bolit when you opened in 2007?
So, you know, I obviously, and gets used so much, the farm to table kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of great restaurants. For us, you know, I feel like it's, you know, tying yourself to the local community, to your friends and your family who are going to be your guests, to the farmers that are growing product that's going to New York City and Philadelphia, that's literally right down the road. Some of the best, you know, I've been to California. This is some of the best produce you'll ever get and best product. And so that was really, we just wanted to kind of immerse ourselves in there. And, you know, it's amazing to think how many times we see regular guests and how many times we've been invited to dinners at people's houses and people bring us cookie plates at Christmas. And, you know, that for me, that doesn't happen in Boston. It doesn't happen in San Francisco. And so that was really the thing that has just really made this our home.
And it's a connection with the land, but connection with the people too.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Great. So. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Chef Lee on The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
If you are a Golden Age folky and love the music of Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and the Kingston Trio, WDIY is the place to be on Monday nights. From 7 to 9 p.m. on folk classics, all of that great music from the late 1940s to the late 60s will fill the airwaves, and we will welcome your ideas about the artists and songs you'd like to hear. Folk classics, Mondays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WDIY.
Hello and welcome back to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Mike Drabenstadt, and I'm here with Chef Lee Chismar from Bolit, Mr. Lee's Noodles, and Silver Shell Counter and Kitchen. So, Chef Lee, with Bolit, there are certainly local Pennsylvania Dutch undertones with the dishes without it necessarily being a Pennsylvania Dutch restaurant. And how have you kind of squared the traditional nature of food of this region spanning back many centuries with modern techniques and modern palates?
You know, it's a tough question. You know, for us to be tied to our region and the surrounding environment, you know, this was predominantly the cuisine that dates back hundreds of years. And so I feel like it was definitely something that we wanted to explore. And I think it's one of the cuisines that people don't really talk about. And if you're from the area, you know it. And if you're from...
Either fortunately or unfortunately, right, depending on your experience, right?
And, you know, if you're not, you think of, you know, still shoo fly pies or pierogies.
Chow chow.
So the interesting thing is, you know, the produce has changed. A lot of their food was done out of necessity for survival. You know, they're growing food from the land and then they're going to pickle it and preserve it in certain ways. They worked with what they had. So we've just kind of been studying a lot of those techniques in a way lightening them a little bit and trying to change, you know, how we do chow chow or adding dumplings or, you know, bringing in certain produce that we grow now more for taste that they didn't really have a ton of because it didn't make sense for survival or feeding the family all year.
Or they couldn't preserve it in the way they wanted to, given their limited refrigeration.
Exactly. So we experimented with it all the time. And it's definitely something we change the menu a lot. And we do, you know, we jump around with different regions and we have French influence and Japanese influence and, you know, all of what really makes America great.
And the Valley's gone through those changes, too, in terms of immigration, people moving in here. It's become more of a melting pot.
Right. But it is one of the things, you know, it's kind of the founding cuisine from here. So we do always revisit it, and we're still working always to incorporate it into the menu.
Let's talk with Balit, just or technique a little bit at Balit. I know when I've been there, the dishes are incredibly flavorful, sometimes nuanced, but always really well-balanced. Do you really start out with an objective and a vision and work toward that, or do you have a general direction and kind of let the dish find itself and let the food tell you where it wants to go?
So it's an interesting question. I think that there are often, you know, each dish is a little bit different. There are sometimes ideas that you have that roll around in your head for 2 years before you finally figure out how to tweak it enough to bring the concept into reality. Other times, you know, we'll go and visit a farm and walk around and, you know, there's some baby carrots or squash blossoms or, you know, the first of the season tomatoes or late season tomatoes. And you'll get to taste the differences in the acidity and the sugar and how it's balanced. And a lot of times that just gets it flowing. And it, you know, I don't always know where it comes from. and it changes. You know, right now we have a horseradish soup on the menu. And we have a beet tartare, crisp horseradish chips, horseradish creme fraiche with a beef carpaccio as the garnish for the soup. And, you know, that started last year. One of the other guys, Israel, who works for me, was grating horseradish for an oyster dish. And, you know, you could see him. He just kind of stopped and he said, "Hey, chef, could we make horseradish soup?" And, you know, I was like, "I don't know." yeah, I think we can. And that's kind of where that one came from. And I think that's, you know, I've never seen horseradish soup anywhere, but it's kind of like it has a potato leek base with a nice sour horseradish flavor to it, and it actually works out really nice. And that one just popped out of nowhere. Occasionally, you know, once or twice we'll get too many cases of spinach, and it'll turn into a spinach soup with oyster croutons and kind of a play on a Rockefeller deconstructed. So it just is very organic. I think there's the people you work with, the environment you're in, the season that you're in, and the produce and the product that's coming in. It's like Tetris, you know, it all kind of falls into place, you hope.
And that's the certainly the approach at Balit. And then you kind of took a step way out there and said, we've got this kind of traditional approach. Why don't we open up a ramen place? Now, where'd that come from?
So, you know, I think obviously, you know, as a chef, you're always kind of following food trends. And I think there was definitely a need for it in the Lehigh Valley. You know, most of the, if you go to New York or Philly, there's ramen places everywhere these days. So we also felt like it was a great way to encompass or to bring together our philosophies of the farm to table or the local aspect of these products and be able to get them. A lot of times when you're buying local, a lot of times that drives your price up. And if you're using local meats, sometimes they can be expensive. So for us, the ramen was actually a way to use a lot of the local product and actually hopefully make it a little bit more approachable to our local community. And so while we base our stuff in tradition, we definitely have a lot of fun with it. And, you know, our broths.
I was going to ask, how much time and energy go into that broth? Because it's amazing.
You know, Mike George, our chef over there, I mean, he literally is nonstop. And if you're ever there and there's not at least two or three stock pots going, they're there on their days off making those stocks and broths. And that's, you know, that's a big part of it. So the complexity, the balance, the different ingredients that you put into it. It really, hopefully, sets it apart from everybody else.
Now, in the first half of 2019, you'll be opening Silver Shell Counter and Kitchen, also in the Easton Public Market. Tell us about that concept and what people can expect.
So I think for us, and really my wife, growing up in Massachusetts and getting her out of Boston, she grew up eating lobster rolls and clam chowder and whole belly clams and steamers. And food is a really big part of her life also. So usually when she would go to the shore or down to the Cape as a kid, you know, she had the week planned out in her head about, you know, three lobster rolls a day. You know, I'm going to get my fried whole belly clams here, two orders of steamers there. So she really loves it. It's something that I fell in love with when I was up there. And so for us, I think that's another thing that we can share with the Lehigh Valley and hopefully save some of the homesickness, you know, that my wife has.
Well, keep the marriage together, right? Open a new restaurant, right. Make the marriage. So. Yeah.
But, you know, all of the things that we're planning on doing there are, you know, something that that my entire family feels very passionate about. So we're excited to kind of unveil that.
Well, a lot of people know you've been awarded a couple of national honors. As we said, 2019 Outstanding Restaurant Semifinalist for James Beard, one of 20 in the U.S., also a semifinalist for Best Chefs in America in 2015. What do they mean to you personally, and what do you think those awards mean to the Valley?
So I think, you know, for us, especially in the culinary world, the James Beard is very much like the Oscars of the culinary life. You aspire to it. When you're a young chef, you hear about it and you hope someday that you'll get there. I think it's big for the Lehigh Valley because it turns some national attention our way, which, you know, being so close to New York and Philadelphia, and with the way the culinary world is in the Lehigh Valley right now, there are a lot of great restaurants out there. And I think it just helps us garner more attention as a community. For me, this last one, the Outstanding Restaurant nomination, for us is already kind of a win, you know, to be in that 20 finalists or semifinalist category is pretty awesome. I also feel like the restaurant business is probably one of the greatest team sports that there is. And really, this one is a nomination and an award for our entire restaurant, especially for my wife, Erin, who works so hard, the service staff, the kitchen staff, our dishwashers, food runners. Every single person in that restaurant owns a piece of this award, and even people that have worked for us in the past to help us get it to where it is today.
It's not a snapshot. I mean,
it's
building a long-term team.
You have
team.
To be open for 10 years, and it's pretty incredible. So, you know, this one is something that I really take a lot of pride in, and it's something that I hope our entire community, the guests that come in and visit us, our farmers, our staff, our family, neighbors, everybody can take pride in.
Well, and that's some recognition that's come to the Valley, but you've also taken some of the Valley into outside this area into New York City with some James Beard Foundation yep. dinners, one Modern Pennsylvania Dutch and Craft of the Lehigh Valley, which right. to me, it exposes the Lehigh Valley foodway to people in the city, which
right.
is crazy.
Right. And, you know, that dinner was very well received, and I think it opened a lot of eyes to the potential of that kind of cuisine. And hopefully, you know, people are like, hey, I'm gonna go check the Lehigh Valley out for
now,
sure.
You take is it a week off every year to do a biking trip around Pennsylvania? So, tell us a little bit about that.
So I'm part of Chef Cycle, and they started, it was a couple chefs in California that decided, you know, they wanted to ride their bike to raise money to help end childhood hunger in the United States. And it was actually Christopher Myers up in Boston who called and said, hey, you know, do you have a bike? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, well.
Right answer.
Yeah. He said, we're going to do this. And so I said, okay. And I actually signed up for it a little faster than I didn't really read the fine print. But it ended up being 3 days of 100 miles a day And now it's based out of Santa Rosa, and we do different loops up there for 3 days. So this will be coming up in May. It'll be my fourth year, and our community has raised a ton of money, and it's just a fantastic cause, and it's something that it's hard to call it a week off. We do have a lot of fun.
So we've run 30 seconds left. What does the future hold, do you think, for the Lehigh Valley as a food destination?
I think the Lehigh Valley in general is a really exciting place to be. I am super excited to see what the food scene looks like in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years. I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
Well, we appreciate you being a part of it.
Well, thank you.
Chef Lee, thank you for joining us here at WDIY on the Inside Dish.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Best of luck for continued success.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is the Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.